This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Gary Gates going to join us coming up here in about 15 minutes. Another big weekend, Syracuse Lacrosse.
Yep, looking forward to talking to Coach Gate. Big weekend of basketball ahead and a big Thursday night of women's basketball in the ACC. Mm-hmm. And we're going to start with the upset special. Top 25 ball game, Carmichael last night in Chapel Hill. Courtney Banghart's team beats Louisville. Number 24 gets number 3, 66-65. Carolina's first win against an AP top 3 in just over 3 years. Kennedy Todd Williams, outstanding, a season high in points. And it comes down to a last shot. Louisville down one. Now watch Haley Van Lith here go to the corner and look at the white shirts follow here. There's 2.5, and what a smart play this is. Look how open Kiana Smith is. Pretty good look. Now watch the follow. Watch this. Ugh. Difference between winning and losing right there, hanging on the back of the iron.
Man, this game had everything. Lead changes, drama.
Yep.
Last second, hanging on the rim. Great win for North Carolina.
Yeah.
Tremendous. And for Louisville, tough loss. And you take a look at the standings. NC State with a big win last night.
Mm-hmm.
A game and a half behind NC State at the top. And it feels even larger than that, doesn't it, Wes?
Yeah.
NC State wins the tiebreaker. They only play once during the regular season. Louisville's shot at maybe winning the regular season. That was a tough loss last night.
Yep. Certainly puts the Cards in a tough situation.
Yep.
And Virginia Tech, who won by 49 last night over Syracuse, visits the Center on Sunday in a ball game you can see right here on ACC Network. So now all of a sudden, Jeff Walls knows how critical it is. And then the next thing you get, Kenny Brooks' team, who's playing awfully well as of late, on the visit. Interesting night in the ACC, right? Virginia got off the snide in terms of conference play, too.
First time almost in 2 years. I told you, 721 days.
Yep.
It had been since the Virginia women's basketball program won an ACC game. They knocked off Duke last night, so
yep.
Congratulations to the Hoos. That had to be a great night. Right? Finally get a W in the league,
mm-hmm.
and they knock off Carol Lawson and company. And, you know, Georgia Tech-Notre Dame was a tremendous game. Overtime thriller. Notre
yep.
Dame gets the win. You take a look at the standings. We know about NC State. We know about Louisville. Virginia Tech's in a great spot at 3. And now Notre Dame moves up to the 4 spot. Why do we say that's a big deal? Because you're looking at the double buys.
Mm-hmm.
You'd rather be in the top 4, get that extra day off. And Notre Dame gets that tiebreaker by knocking off Georgia Tech. Big game last night
yeah.
in OT.
Miami a winner by 10 over Pittsburgh at home last night. And Florida State an 8-point winner at home against Boston College. So I think that covers the scoreboard, does it not?
Yes, it does.
There we go.
But the great race, and we're talking about the men's games tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
great race on the ladies' side. 6 teams are ranked in the top 25. This league is loaded.
Yep.
And Courtney Banghart last night kind of emphasized, hey, you know what? We can play with anybody. That's what's going to make in Greensboro coming up in a couple of weeks. We look mm-hmm. forward to being there. It's going to be terrific, as it normally is.
Packer usually does 30 live hours a week. Actually, he prefers to do 29.
That's right.
Because Coach K has a Thursday night show on SiriusXM that follows Mark's off-campus show at 6 o'clock. And Coach K did go to work last night, and much to Pack's delight. So you
I
got an early start.
Gave him a great lead-in. Our
mm-hmm.
show was rocking. We had all kinds of great guests. It led right into Coach K's show at
yeah.
6.
And he talked about what happened on Tuesday night and how he's doing now.
And it's the first time I had stood up. I really thought I could pass out. And I got to the locker room, and my medical people just, you know, gave me IVs and whatever. And I'm better. You know, I think you get exhausted, you know. And
yeah.
I don't know if it was that my way of celebrating my 75th birthday and saying, knucklehead, you are 75, you better do something a little bit different. But I'm better, and I'm glad that it was that, you know, and not something
yep.
else.
Is that what you're looking for?
Maybe yeah. the next contract. I get some medical people like Kay's got. That sounds like
don't
a pretty
good
deal.
Don't we have enough people here?
Excuse me?
Don't we have enough people working here? We need medical people now for you.
I got Otto out there in the decoration room, but if I go down, I'm not trusting Otto. He's been back there in Mrs. P's refrigerator. All right, he may not be in condition to put in IV.
I got you.
I need some medical people.
Let's pivot to the Friday night duels, by the way.
Ooh, I am pumped about that too tonight.
Carolina State tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern. Sean Kenny, Rock Harrison will be there for our coverage. Yesterday, we promoted? Absolutely. We did something we've never done before. We had two wrestlers who are going to square off tonight, visit with us. Clay Lout of Carolina and Hayden Heidley of NC State. And we started with Clay. You guys become friends along the way with other Tobacco Road wrestlers like the guys at Duke. And how does that work out? Here's our visit.
It doesn't happen too often. I stick around my team most of the time. I know a lot of these guys at NC State growing up through high school, but we kind of stick to, at least at Chapel Hill, we kind of stick to ourselves. I'm friends with all the guys on our team, and I don't really have too many interactions with NC State and Duke.
Hayden, same thing.
Yeah, no, I don't have a whole lot of interaction with those guys. I always feel like the rivalry is always a big melting pot for the fans to go at each other. Mm-hmm. But I think as athletes, we're always a little bit too focused on what we have to accomplish. And it's like in a wrestling match, you're usually too tired to talk any kind of trash to begin with. So that's kind of hard to do. But I've always felt, you know, as a high-level athlete, if you need any of like the extrinsic factors to kind of motivate you to get up for a match like this, I think you're going to be in trouble. And so I think as a high-level athlete, you have to find those internal motivators. And whenever you get out onto the mat, you know, you've got your blinders on and you have to stick to what you're great at. And so although the stakes are higher and there's some more, I would say, distractions coming for a match like this, when it comes down to it, you go out onto the mat and it's kind of like the horses from the Kentucky Derby where you got your blinders on. And they don't know anything other than they like to run and they need to win. And so that's kind of, that's what it's like from an athlete's perspective.
All right, I'm going to ask both of you guys this question. And be honest now, all right? Be honest. Hey, now I'll start with you. Does it ever get personal in a match?
It's always personal. No matter who you're wrestling, you take two guys out and put them in a mat and 7 minutes plus on the clock. How can it not be personal? You know, that's the way I've always thought about it. And I never needed any kind of extra factor to motivate me because it simply comes down to two guys trying to conquer each other. And it's always personal when it comes down to that. And, you know, it doesn't really matter what kind of shade of blue the other person is wearing. It's personal regardless.
Clay, same question.
Yeah, I would say it's personal. You know, I don't have anything against the guy I'm wrestling, but, you know, I want to go out there and win. He wants to go out there and beat me, so I'd say that's a personal conflict going on. You know, I'm not one to talk trash or nothing like that, but, you know, I want to take care of business, and I know Hayden wants to take care of business, so.
Hey, Clay, I want to counter to something that I'm fascinated by, and that's the individualistic nature of this sport in a team concept. I mean, you know, you can have individual success, and you guys have both enjoyed it, but it is a team game, so to speak, yet dictated by individual performance. So how do you qualify that in your world of preparation and certainly in your competition? Clay, does that ever cross your mind of understanding the bigger picture with the team and the individual effort?
Yeah, especially for dual season. We're always worried about the team's performance. But as far as in preparation, I can only prepare myself to get ready for my match, and that's on each individual. It's each individual's responsibility to prepare for the match and be ready to go out there and scrap. But these, when the team performance is taken into account like a duel, I think that makes it way more fun.
What's the one thing about Clay that you go, you know what, that's a problem. I got to deal with it. And Clay, I'm going to ask you the same question about Hayden.
Well, I think, you know, win or lose, he's in a lot of close matches. And so what that tells me is, you know, defensively he's very sound. And, you know, no matter who he's wrestling, he's going to be tough to score on. And so, you know, luckily, like in the past, I've seen a lot of of a lot of his tape, and obviously he's wrestled a lot of my teammates, and he wrestled my brother last year. And so I guess I can look back at that match, and you know, he even bumped up for that match. And anyone that can hang with Trent for 7 minutes and keep it pretty close is, you know, toughness and strength, that's not ever going to be in question. And so you kind of have to form a game plan around that. And I'm really looking forward to the challenge for sure. I think it's a really unique setup just because of me moving up two weight classes. And
right.
He has a lot of success at this weight in the past. And so this is really where the season kind of starts for me, because I've had some success so far. But now this weekend, all in one trip, I get to take on the two best guys of the ACC. And so it's a very exciting matchup, and kind of there's some conflicting styles that will go on. But overall, I think it's two very tough guys that aren't going to be willing to give up many points.
Yeah, don't forget NC State, Virginia Tech is Sunday.
I couldn't forget.
Right.
Kidding me? Clay, same question about Hayden.
Yeah, I think Hayden's strength is his underhook. I think both the Headley brothers, I wrestled Trent in the past. Like Hayden said, I wrestled him, I think, four times. So I kind of have a feel of what the Headley brothers like to do. You know, Hayden's lefty, whereas Trent is a righty. So obviously it's different, and they're not the same wrestler. But Hayden knows how to score points. He really kind of muscles people around at 57 like he did last year. So I think it's going to be interesting. Hayden coming up two weights to see if he can, to see what his strength is like, and if he can still be able to do the same things that he did at 57.
Hayden, what's been the biggest challenge in moving weight classes? Because I can imagine, you know, there's some things that you'll have an advantage with, there are other things that present a challenge. So in your mind, when you elected to kind of do this and play this route, what do you think has surprised you?
Well, I know that I've gotten a lot better as the year has gone on. I think at the start of the year, you're still trying to adjust to, I don't know, some of the guys are just taller, they're lengthier. And so that's kind of the things you have to deal with. But, you know, at the end of the day, I've really gotten used to it. I feel like right now I'm wrestling better than ever. And, you know, I've gotten better on the top position. I've gotten better at finding other offense on my feet. And you know, I think as you go on in the match and you can get guys tired, the underhook always comes back into play. And so I think I've been able to use what I was best at last year and added a few new twists. And, you know, I really like this weight class that I'm in right now. I'm spending a lot more time throughout the week being able to prepare for individual opponents and not prepare to make the weight. And I think that's certainly a really good positive for me as I move forward in this season.
Thanks to Hayden Heidley and Clay Lout. They'll wrestle tonight as part of Friday Night Duels, 7 o'clock right here on ACC Network.
Radio show ends at 7, 16 steps up, and I got the duels on tonight, ACC Network. That's my plan.
Both those guys frighten me.
Oh, I love the wrestlers, man. Guys are great.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Hey, don't forget, softball coverage continues. The St. Pete Clearwater Elite Invitational presented by Wilson. Been coverage on ACC. Now, I watched Clemson, Texas Tech yesterday, Pack.
Yep.
A little softball on ACCN. And Saturday, 1 o'clock tomorrow, Florida State and Michigan, two teams in the top 15. You can see it all streaming live on the ESPN app, but tomorrow exclusively here on ACC Network.
We got golf going on, too.
Man. Yeah, we do. We got a deal in Melbourne, Florida, yeah, with six ACC and six SEC teams, yeah, on the women's side.
There's all kinds of stuff going on. We got lacrosse going on, too.
Lacrosse? Oh, good, because we got Gary Gate on the show.
Yeah, you got it. You're connecting dots.
I'm telling you, Saturday, the Orange get going, and this is a big weekend. Sunday, I should say, they get going, and it's a big weekend. Coach Gates' jersey will be honored in a pregame ceremony, and we welcome him back to Packer and Durham. Gary, great to see you. I know you're excited the season's starting. Congratulations on this honor. It's incredibly well-deserved.
Oh, thank you. It's always nice to celebrate the past a little bit, so it'll be fun. Lots of family and friends coming in.
You know, you're talking about celebrating the past. What do you take from the past, though, moving forward now with this position and what Syracuse lacrosse means to not only the community, but also from a national perspective?
Well, I think you take the history and you take the success of the program and you use that in recruiting. And I think it gives players, young athletes, the opportunity to understand that Syracuse is a place where you can have success. And I think that's where the past is really valuable in that recruiting aspect.
I don't know what your anticipation or expectation was for your debut last week, but I'm guessing 28 goals is kind of maybe – is that above the line you were expecting? 28 seems like a huge number, especially 19 in the first half, I guess.
Well, I you know, kind of – we had to get some work in, so we did. We played the first half. You know, we started subbing about the midway through the second quarter, getting deeper in the lineup, and you know – so it was just one of those games. We played everybody, and it's tough when you get kids that may not see much time during the year. They got in during that second half, and you really can't tell them to hold it up when it may be one of their few opportunities to play. So we played everybody, and it came out at 28, and it was a great start. They executed what we wanted.
Coach, I was just going to say the answer to Wes's question, that's just good coaching. I mean, yeah, 20, yeah, we were looking for 30. I mean, come on, that's just good coaching. That's the object of the game.
Well, I think
right?
We could have probably had 40 if we wanted, but, you know, you can't be that person.
Well, yeah, you can, but nevertheless, you don't want to be that person, but, yeah, can you be that guy? Yeah, sure you can. A little different story, though, with Maryland, though, right? I mean, listen, the Terps have a great program. These are the kind of showdowns that fans can't wait to see. Can't wait to see this bad boy. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I'm excited to see the turnout we get in the Carrier Dome. It's going to be, I think it's going to be awesome. I think that it's going to be the loud house. We're going to have a great crowd, and it's going to be, you know, we get to play the number one team in the country and try and work our way back to the top five and do our best to do that. So this is a great opportunity in front of us. So we'll be ready.
Gary, I'm curious, and I one time remember a conversation that Anson Dorrance had, I mean, years ago, when he was still coaching both the men's and women's soccer teams at Carolina. And ultimately, he, you know, stayed with the women, and they went a different direction in terms of the coaching. They split the coaching.
Yep.
We talked about this when you've been so kind to join us about this. Now that you're down the hall or in the other office, so to speak, what's the transition been like for you? What are the differences in coaching the men as opposed to the women? And I know coaching's coaching, but are there some differences in the details?
You know, there's always a difference in the details, just how you treat the athletes. But that's, you know, any good coach is gonna get to know his athletes, understand them, how to make them work hard, and how to, you know, drive the energy out of them so that they come to practice every day going full speed. And you know, the real difference is just they're different people. You know, they just react differently, so you gotta just use a little different coaching style. Other than that, like you said, coaching's coaching. The game, it's about putting the ball in the net and stopping the other team, and that core game's the same in both men's and women's.
Gary, for folks that are going to sample lacrosse for the first time, because the sport's growing like crazy, but there's a lot of folks that go, yeah, I heard Packer and Durham talking about it, but I really don't know anything about the game. If they sample number one Maryland at number nine Syracuse in that environment in the Loud House, give me some things that folks should watch for as far as the folks that have no idea what the sport's about. Styles, attacks. I mean, you tell me in layman's terms.
Well, the first thing, if they haven't seen a game before, they got to make sure they follow the ball, you know, because it's small, it moves fast, and you'll get the hang of that quick. But, you know, it's a simple game. It's just like, you know, most sports, it's about putting a ball in a goal, and, you know, you're looking at basic setup of offense, midfielders, and defense like soccer and a goalie. So it's pretty straightforward. You know, just play the game, and you're going to have the middies going back and forth. You're going to have a team that probably likes to run and gun a little bit more in Syracuse versus a Maryland team that typically likes ball control and likes to hold on to it. So you know, those are probably the biggest difference right now.
Styles make fights, right? And so in a match like this, and given your experience, you tell me, right? I mean, you know, sometimes when you see the a kind of team that plays like you do, you have a totally different animal with this. But it seems like two tremendous programs, very different styles, and that always adds to me intrigue. You just never know how that's going to play out.
You don't. And we're just excited to have the opportunity. You know, we're trying to bring our program back to prominence, get back to the final, you know, the championship weekend, and our goal, you know, so we wanted to play the best. So I reached out to Coach Tillman, and we set up a home and home with Maryland. So this is a great test early, second game of the year. I'm super excited.
All right. This has been a good week. Your jersey being honored this weekend. They have an inaugural Pro Lacrosse Hall of Fame class announced. You're on that list. It's pretty good to be Gary Gate this week, isn't it?
it's great. You know, it's just, or am I just that old now? Like, I don't know. I'm certainly, the playing days are way behind me, but, you know, I'm super appreciative. It's just so nice. I, you know, my favorite thing to ever do was play the game. You know, I love coaching very much, but, you know, as an athlete, to compete and have the opportunity to make plays on the field is, you know, I had a hard time giving it up. I made it to almost 44 before I played my last pro game. So I'm now coaching. I love coaching, but certainly always love playing.
Gary, I'm going to guess we saw a few photos of the playing days at Syracuse. The technology in the sport is moving how fast, do you think? And I know you've had a hand in that business as well, but the technology seems to be moving in the construction of the stick, the ball, everything. It just seems like, as Packer mentioned, the sport is on the rise in a big way, but it also seems like so is the equipment design too.
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. I know that I've joined up with my brother, and we have a lacrosse company, and we have the most, what we think are the most innovative products on the market, and we got something new coming for the defenders that's out of this world, never thought of before. And that's kind of the way I played the game, was what can we do different? How do we play different? And, you know, it helps when you can think that way and then turn it into what can we do with the equipment to help the game and make it more fun. So, yeah, I've been involved in it for 30 years, and I've seen a lot of changes and been involved in a lot of them, and it's been a blast and certainly a lot of fun to be involved on that side of the game.
Well, you teased us. So what is this magic formula you got there, Gary? I mean, I know
oh, my God. You want to know what it is?
Well, yeah, I do. I'm curious.
All right, here it is. It's such a simple concept. You got a lacrosse stick, and when you check, right, it hits and it slides off. So all I did was create a little hook on the top of the stick so that when it hits the stick, it catches and pulls it. That's it. No one ever thought of putting the shape of the top of the stick to help make check. So it's it's being debuted, I think, this weekend on a couple teams, and we'll take it from there.
So you just put a hook at the end of a stick and you made millions off of that? Are you kidding me?
I don't know. It's not really a hook. It's like a bump, but it grabs the stick. You'd have to see it.
Wait, I know you're going to like 800 Hall of Fames or putting your jersey up in the rafters, and you're telling me you put a bump on a stick and that's what's going to go ahead. I mean, that's it?
That's it.
I mean, we're sitting down here working our tails off. I could have just said, hey, put a bump on this stick, and I'd have gone and I would have had that Italian villa by now. Yeah. Are you kidding me? After all of that?
You know what the funniest thing is? Everybody that's seen it said, why didn't anybody else do this? It seems so simple. Like,
I love it.
You know what? You know, the strategy was, you know, our defense at Syracuse last year had a tough time. And all I was thinking was, how can we improve our defense? How can we make it better? And, you know, that popped into my head. Like, maybe we can do something with the equipment. So
tell you what,
that's how that came about.
We are dealing with a freaking brilliance. Genius.
We're dealing with brilliance. That's every time Gary Gates here.
We're not going to call you Gary Gates anymore. A bump on a stick. A bump on a stick. The guy's a freaking genius. Yeah, just like that. Just like that.
You know what? Bump on a stick, make millions. All right, Gary, you're the man.
Wait. We're not going to be done with this. I'm going to learn something.
Oh, we got to get something.
Have we trademarked bump on a stick? Have we trademarked? I mean, what are we doing with all this? This is a name, image, and likeness opportunity.
The name of the stick is called the can opener.
The can opener.
The can opener.
I mean, that's it. A bump on a stick. We call it a can opener, and then, hey, whatever. Whatever Wild Hack wants to pay me, that's pocket change. I got a bump on a stick. We're good to go. After all of that. Unbelievable.
Yeah, pretty funny. Right.
Before we let you go, though, we've asked coaches this question. What is the one song for you, that gets you jacked up? I mean, it gets you totally fired up. Your walk-up song. What is it?
Oh, my God. That's probably the worst question for me because I'm more the opposite. I like to sit with no music on and relax and take some deep breaths and visualize. So the one song thing's not really my thing.
There you go.
Well, you know, when you got bump on the stick, who needs any stick?
That's the song you need. Yeah.
That's right. Bump it.
All right, Gary. Bump on a stick from here on.
Love it.
Good luck with the can opener. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
All right. Gary Gate, head coach of Syracuse.
Bump on a stick. That's it. The greatest ideas are the easiest ones. They're the ones that are right in front of you. Right, you'd sit there for hours and days and months and years thinking, I'm going to reinvent the wheel. No. Bump on a stick.
Yeah,
that's all it takes.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Gary Gate and his brother have been running that company, it sounds like, for years.
How do we not come up with that?
You've already done enough entrepreneurship.
No, I like keep doing more. You got to be creative, Wes. You got to create. You take risks.
Southern Fried Football Tour.
Right. You got to take risks in life. You know, not all of them are going to hit.
You got a lot of patents.
You're gonna fail. Everybody in life's going to fail. That's okay.
Registered
wrong with
trademarks.
That.
You've done all the.
I know that, but you got to keep going. You can't just say, "Hey, I've reached the finish line." Bump on a stick's a great idea.
Yeah,
love that.
Bump on a stick. But it's called the can opener.
I like that too.
Yeah.
Gary Gate, man. I just had a new appreciation for Gary Gate. Knew he was a great player, terrific coach, Hall of Famer. But he's gone even higher in my book now.
I'm with you on that. We've got some updated Joe Lunardi bracketology this morning.
Oh, it's that time of the year.
It is. I mean, we get updates. I think it's twice a day on weekends.
Watch out.
Whoa.
Watch out.
Wait a second. Okay, we'll get back to Duke, Notre Dame, Miami, and Wake in a minute. Looky at the bottom. By the way, those two play tomorrow, 4:00 on ESPN2.
You know what? Joe Lunardi has just influenced my Packer game of the week. Just like that. That, my friend, right there, is the game of the week.
North Carolina, Virginia Tech, huh?
Yep.
All right.
There is so much riding on that game. There's a lot of important games. We've talked about it. But that game, number one, has got the best crowd. It's got the angst factor. Everybody knows what's at stake.
Okay.
Pressure on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
North Carolina coming off an egg. I mean, they dropped an egg. Virginia Tech coming off, beating their arch rival. A lot on the line. Heels beat them the first go around. Nobody has a quad one win. Somebody's got to grab one. That's your Packer game of the week right there. North Carolina at Virginia Tech.
Let me go back to that screen real quick because I want to show you kind of where we were the other day about this. Notre Dame, Miami, Wake Forest, all on the 9 line behind Duke at a 2.
Yeah.
This goes back to where we were on schedule strength, where it fits in the net. All those things.
And that's why Virginia, who's not on that list, at Miami, so important tomorrow, right? Notre Dame, Wake, somebody's losing. Guaranteed lock loss
right.
tomorrow
right.
for somebody on that 9 line. North Carolina, Virginia Tech, guaranteed loss for somebody going, yikes, the bubble just got tougher, or man, maybe we're on the better side of it, whatever the combination may be. That's why I kept saying on Monday, this is going to be the most important week of the ACC men's basketball schedule. It's exactly why I said it on Monday.
So there you go.
There we go. Game on. Let's go.
Yep. So, Carolina, Virginia Tech, the Packer game of the week.
Yep.
Tomorrow, 4 o'clock on ESPN2. Tar Heels really can't worry about the loss the other night to Pitt.
It's over.
Because the Hokies, who they beat by 10 back on the 24th of January, are standing in front of them. And you see BPI's got Virginia Tech favored by almost 73%.
Oh, that's the first I had seen of that now.
You will stay
with North Carolina fans, I got good news for y'all. I do.
BPI picked.
You know what the good news is?
They picked the Hokies.
They think the Hokies are almost a 75% chance to win. That is the best news Hubert Davis and Tar Heel Nation has heard this week. I promise you.
6-game win streak for the Hokies. And at the castle, where they have been outside of Charlie Moore banking one in, they've been really good.
Now, everybody should be good at home. I mean, should be. But the fact that BPI's got them up nearly 73%, baby blue fans are sitting there smiling. They're going, man, I was nervous, but now I'm feeling a little bit better about life.
There you go. So, there it is.
And if North Carolina wins this game, you better believe that will be brought up on Monday's show.
BPI?
You bet.
Okay.
Good. BPI was so good the other night. Well, they have North Carolina over Pitt. I wrote it down.
90-something, I think.
94%.
Something like that, yeah.
94%.
94, confirmed by the Lumberjacks.
Yeah. Notre Dame was at 88.1% off the top of my head. They won in overtime.
Yeah.
And Louisville was favored.
Yeah.
Cards have lost 7 in a row.
All right, 5 o'clock tomorrow, Virginia, Miami.
What's BPI got on this one?
Well, we'll find out here in just a second. They're going to scroll it across. 66.6.
Man, wahoo, wah.
For the
Aren't
Canes.
Are you excited about hearing that?
Virginia, tough loss in Blacksburg. Canes, a tough win. 2 weeks ago, Virginia took them apart. 71-58 was the final at JPJ.
66.6.
That's a
666.
I would, what are you going to do there? Lean on the Cavs again?
I think that if you are a team and you see that BPI thinks that you got no shot, hang in there.
Jaden Gardner, by the way, is a guy who I would keep an eye on tomorrow. I think that's a tough match for Miami. He had a big ball game first time around, too.
Well, Virginia wore them out the first go around, if you remember. That was a comfortable win for the Cavs. And since that game, Miami has gone, okay, we took a shot. Cool. We're going to win the next three.
Armand Franklin.
Those guards are going to be good. I hope there's a great crowd at Miami. Hope the fans down there.
5 o'clock, Watsco. Come on, you can get lunch.
Miami fans, y'all need to be dialed in tomorrow. Seriously. Your basketball team has had a great year, and this is a really, really important game.
I'm going to say lunch. You can get lunch at Coconut Grove and be at the Watsco in plenty of time.
I'd go down to South Beach to News Cafe, get a corner spot, take your sunglasses.
Yes.
Great spot. Watch the world walk by and say, guess what? We're going to go watch the Canes play.
All right. 1 o'clock game tomorrow. Notre Dame and Wake Forest. Wake off 2 straight losses. This one kind of feels big now for the old Deacons.
75% Notre Dame fans.
With the Irish?
Rejoice. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Holy water for everybody for Notre Dame.
Irish
75% chance for the Swiss.
But Irish were sloppy the other night against BC. You're the one told me that. Notre Dame was lucky to get it to overtime.
They were down 5 late. Had to rally past BC at home. Very fortunate. And the Deacs, after LL, understood how important this week was. This is a
single meeting.
I think if you're a Wake Forest fan, if you're being realistic, this has been a fantastic year. Steve Forbes has done a tremendous job. But if biggest word in sports, if you are going to be a double bye team, get a little extra time off for Brooklyn.
Win tomorrow.
This is a must win for Wake Forest. Mm-hmm. Must win.
Yep. Because I got news for you. You do not hold the tiebreaker against Miami. Wake.
That's why tomorrow you got to win.
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of running out of shots here.
You've lost twice to Duke. You need this one.
Yeah.
This one will help you in the math department. Elsewhere on the slate, we're really down to 3 teams for 1 spot, too, by the way. Because with Miami having the tiebreaker against Wake Forest, Miami also holds the tiebreaker on Carolina. We'll show you the loop here. You see, Miami's got the advantage on Carolina. Miami's got the advantage on Wake Forest. Now Virginia, who's two and a game and a half back of Miami, so really you're still looking at the one spot in this deal.
No, we'll worry about all that. Your West math, that I don't know what you're talking about over there, but your West math, we'll get to that. Let's get to tomorrow, Wes, okay. Because tomorrow is going to shape that top six or seven.
Sure,
just telling you, we're going to get some movement tomorrow.
Absolutely,
accounting on Monday will be fun.
Oh, no doubt, right?
There's going to be this a fluid situation tomorrow in the ACC.
And the rest of the schedule with Clemson at Louisville, BC is at Syracuse. And we told you Georgia Tech's at Pittsburgh. That's tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. That closes down shop on the ACC.
Pitt tried to win four straight. How about that story?
First time since Jamie Dixon's first year in the league.
And I wonder what BPI's got for that one. Do we know? At the top of our head? They can scream in our ears.
I bet these guys here have got their hands are right on the button to figure out what better. 63 for Pitt. You want the Clemson Louisville for fun too, and the BC Syracuse? That's 7 o'clock tomorrow night, ACC Network. Clemson Louisville. Oh.
Oh, way to go, BPI. 50%, huh? You're not sure? Maybe Louisville wins 50%. Maybe Clemson wins 50%. Come on.
Okay. And then you want BC Syracuse? I don't know if the Voice of Victory is going to show you this one or not. Oh, he did. Whoa. Ooh. Eagles now. Sneaky Eagles. Wonder if Earl Grant's going to throw him in the road grays again.
I may have to bring the bump in the stick there for that one. Bump on the stick.
You're out of your mind.
I'm not out of my mind.
There you are. I'm interested in some of those other games.
You know, Lisa, who's running the show today.
Yeah.
She's going to
Lisa
San
Monday
Diego.
On a Friday?
Yeah. Lisa's going out to San Diego this week.
Yeah, you're jealous.
I'm jealous because that's such a great town.
Yeah.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. Final segment of a Friday.
We have
a little bit closer to the weekend. It's going to be a great weekend, too. Great weekend. No Bocelli tonight, but it's still going to be fine. I got the duels instead. What's the matter with you? You okay?
Yeah. You've had quite a week.
I always have quite a week.
But we've had a technology week.
I've had a tough technology week.
You and technology have this love-hate relationship.
Me and technology do not get along. That's why I appreciated Bump on a Stick. I mean, you guys are telling us all this high-tech stuff, and I was like, well, I'm kind of curious. I'm an inquisitive guy. I like to ask questions. What is this high-tech thing? Hey, a little bump on a stick.
I asked Gary Gate, the Syracuse head coach, about the advancements in technology and lacrosse equipment, knowing that he had had a company for many years.
It's a bump on a stick.
And he says, well, we got something coming that'll be a game changer. And
I was fascinated by
that. And I was thinking, oh, my God, they found a metal, lightweight, sticks lighter.
Carbon infused.
That's it.
Metallic.
Yeah, I mean, like golf. That's one of the reasons I asked the question, because how fast technology moves in golf. And he comes up with, well, we're doing this thing where it's a defender, could change the game. It kind of loops over the top. Yeah. It's like a hook. And
bump on the stick. And I'm like, that is – I love that. But me and technology, me and this thing right here, see this thing right here? I hate this thing. I paid – I don't even want to tell you how much these stupid phones are. They are stupid. They're smartphone. No, they're really not. Me and this iPhone 13 have had it. I've about had enough of the i13.
All right. Let's get you caught up on a few things here before we send you off to a fabulous weekend. And more coverage, by the way, of the ACC Swimming and Diving Championships comes your way at 11:30 this morning from the Macaulay Aquatic Pavilion at Georgia Tech, which was the site of the swimming venue at the 1996 Summer Olympics in Atlanta, which was loathsome a year ago. All right.
Back before iPhones.
Yes. NC State has taken the lead in the men's side, and Virginia has taken the lead in the women's side.
Had some records yesterday, too,
didn't we? Yeah, apparently an American record was set, things like that. It is known in the swimming world now. Not having swam in the pool myself,
no.
It is known as a fast pool. So there you have it.
You know, the water is faster in Atlanta.
Could be. It's probably more crowded, too, given Atlanta's current.
That's your traffic.
Yeah. So Stay tuned for that coming up at 11:30. Let's get to the Bojangles weekend menu, though, and we will send you across the spectrum of the ACC here, especially as it relates to basketball. But tonight, 7 o'clock, number 17 North Carolina, number 4 NC State. Friday night duels with Sean Kenny and Rock Harrison is at William Neal Reynolds Coliseum.
Sold out.
Count on it. It's State Carolina. It could be ballroom dancing, and there'll be people there. But it they're competing tonight in wrestling. Tonight. No. Men's lacrosse tomorrow, 3 o'clock on the Atlantic Coast Conference Television Network as well. You see the lineup there with Ohio State and North Carolina. Basketball follows at 5 and 7 tomorrow. 3 games of women's hoops starts at noon, including one Packer has already picked out. Number 23, Virginia Tech, visits number 3, Louisville.
Cards were awesome a week ago when they dismantled Notre Dame, coming off a tough loss, and the Hokies are smoking hot. It's a good matchup Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I like what Jeff Walls said. We're going to find out about the character of our team.
Yeah.
When the head coach, the number 3 team in the country, makes that statement late February,
yep.
Pay attention.
The games tomorrow and the games on Sunday all lead to postseason. Greensboro for the women and, of course, Brooklyn for the men. All right. A birthday today of our ACC Network family.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Happy birthday, Coach Rick.
All right, Coach. Nice job. Happy birthday.
Mark and Miss Catherine, hope you have a great day, Coach. Happy birthday there.
Hope he's feeling well, doing his thing, rocking it.
Yeah. And tomorrow begins the ACC Winter Unity Week, which will run through next Saturday, the 26th.
Did you go get my T-shirt?
The theme for the academic year in 21-22 is Awareness to Action, intended to challenge each individual to get involved in activities that promote unity and connect with people and organizations that affect positive change in our communities. Of course, the Atlantic Coast Conference has staged this now for 4 years, and it's really been a good deal. There's Sportsmanship Week and became Unity Week, and it's been strong with the student-athletes, and a lot of them have joined us, and we're grateful for their participation in communities that their campuses are located.
I believe I will find my Unity T-shirt and put that bad boy on for Monday's show.
Okay.
How about that? You're not going to be here, right?
No, be in Cartersville on Monday.
All right.
Looking forward to being back home there, so we'll do
that.
That's
a pretty good weekend for you.
Mm-hmm.
Great game tomorrow.
Blacksburg,
good
be there.
Good to see your wife, Vicky.
Yeah, see Vicky tomorrow. Or Sunday. Sunday, actually. Don't get there tomorrow. Get there Sunday. So
was that Vicky's idea?
Probably so. She'd probably prefer that. You mentioned the records yesterday. 2 American relay records were set.
Yeah.
Second straight day, Virginia's men and women both broke the 800 freestyle relay records on Wednesday. The Cavalier women set an American record in the 200 medley yesterday. Louisville broke the American record in the men's 200 medley relay. By the way, championships continue. You'll see coverage of that tomorrow as well here on ACC.
And Network. The favorites are in the lead, as you pointed out. Virginia on the women's side, NC State on the men's side.
Yep.
2 dominant programs.
Isn't that the truth?
Great programs.
Yeah. Heck of a finish. Should be great. So we'll have full coverage of that on Monday.
Is that fast water down there in Atlanta?
I'm telling you, by the pool, swimming standards, and again, don't mistake me for anybody who knows anything about swimming.
No, that is true.
Yeah.
Because, like, in New York, they don't have fast water. When I lived in New York, you could walk across the Hudson. You could.
But it's water for bagels and pizza.
The best in the world.
Right.
In the world is in New York City.
Mike Barber, Elliot Avent, Gary Gate all joined us on this program, and we appreciate their participation in the Friday edition of Packer and Durham. Another terrific week, huh?
Fun week.
And a
folks
big,
in Bristol.
Big weekend of basketball.
Yep.
Men tomorrow, women on Sunday, and we will chronicle all of it for you here on Monday.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.